It is Thursday. It is opening day Thursday. It took until July 23rd for us to get here, LZ, but we're going to see Major League Baseball that counts tonight, and the Dodgers are a part of it, and even more importantly than that, they're going to do it with their new $392 million man, Mookie Betts, signs a huge contract extension, the second biggest contract in Major League Baseball history, second to Mike Trout's deal that he signed not that long ago. And what a way to kick off what is already a weird season, but now the Dodgers have one of the best in baseball locked up for the next 13 seasons.
Yes, and you know what? I am here for all of that.
Yeah.
Here for all of that. I mean, we had a lot of things to look forward to coming into this year, obviously before the pandemic. And then we had a lot of things to look forward to just in the midst of just thinking about the bubble, the conversation I think started way back in April about maybe coming to Arizona, blah, 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 blah. Now, even though we won't be there, when we watch tonight, knowing that the core of what we see is going to represent this city for at least a decade, because there's no way they're not going to lock in Cody Bellinger for a long-term deal.
Right.
There's no way that Walker Buehler is not going to get like a long-term deal.
Right.
We are going to see the very beginnings of dominance, which is crazy, Travis, because we're talking about coming on the end and maybe winning an eighth consecutive division title. And now I'm just now beginning to think about, oh, we're about to be dominant.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? I mean, you're right.
It's weird, right?
This is a team that by any measure at all should be at the end of your window, right? That when you've won the division 7 years in a row, you cannot honestly look at this and say, oh, yeah, we're still right in the middle of it. That doesn't happen. I know that the Braves had that run where they won like 13 in a row, but we're talking really extraordinary circumstances to win even more than one or two in a row. You know, three in a row is pretty remarkable. They're looking at seven, and it feels like, and you just said it, but it feels like it changed yesterday. And it feels like it's not going anywhere because the addition of Mookie Betts, let me back up a little bit. This run that they've been on has been the Kershaw run. Okay, for better or for worse, and almost always for the better, this has been the Kershaw run. Best pitcher in baseball, multiple Cy Young Awards, MVP, Hall of Fame career, and he's been the backbone of this run for the last 7 years and even going a little bit further than that. But it feels like from today moving to whatever's coming up next, that backbone is no longer running through number 22. It's running through Mookie Betts. It's running through Bellinger. It's running through Walker Buehler. It's running through guys like Corey Seager and this young core of guys that are absolutely at either the beginning of their primes or right smack in the middle of it. And this is the beginning of another run. It's just that the first one never actually ended. And this one feels like it's going to include world championships. That this one would be the Dodgers missing out over these last 7 years has been disappointing. A couple of them just absolutely gut-wrenching. But if you've got Betts and Bellinger and Walker Buehler and Corey Seager and all of the other players that you have around them, and this team doesn't get it done, it's inconceivable. It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. This doesn't even feel like Chicago. Like even with Chicago, the very beginning, you know, when they had finally broken the curse and they won and they had a lot of really young talent, even though they had an MVP, it never felt as if Rizzo and Chris Bryant and those guys, they were young and they were talented. It just feels like this collection of youth that we have with the Dodgers in the talent level is just better.
Yeah.
It's like better than that. And so that's why I feel so bullish. Like, normally I don't get caught up in the hyperbole of, oh, this is the beginning of a great run because sports happen. But this go round, this does feel like the beginning of a great run, even though they already are in the midst of a great run. That signing yesterday, to be a granddad, to take my kid, my grandchild, to a baseball game and be able to look at her or him and say, yeah, no, I'm old enough to remember when they only won seven division titles. Oh, Grandpa, you're so silly. They've always won at least 20 in a row. What do you mean?
Well, you're right. And I like the comparison you draw to the Cubs. And, you know, Chris Bryant was a great player. And you look at some of the, you know, Javi Baez and these guys are great players. But what the Dodgers have that is different. Look, Bellinger is in his early 20s and already has an MVP in his back pocket. Mookie Betts is on the right side of 30 by a couple of years, has an MVP and a World Series in his back pocket. But what this team has that really very few teams do have is just an absolute abundance of really talented pitchers, really talented pitchers that are not Clayton Kershaw, right? That you look at guys, we talk about Buehler all the time, but we've all watched these guys pitch. Dustin May is the real thing. This Josiah Gray that pitched the other night, that dude's going to do some work in Major League Baseball. Mitchell White, who we saw a couple of nights ago, he was lights out. Tony Gonsolin, who we really don't talk about very often, that is a every fifth day in the Major League pitcher that you run out there and you have a really good chance to win. We talk about Julio Urias, who's pitched for the Dodgers for a couple of seasons. He's like 23 years old. I mean, they've got this entire roster of guys that are incredibly young and talented. So we know they're going to score runs, but it's not like they're going to be giving up a bunch of them on the mound either, because it's not like, hey, we've got Walker Buehler and then we'll figure it out from there. You've got Walker Buehler, and then I just named another four or five or six names. Those guys are going to be in the rotation for the Dodgers, or they're at least assets to go get other proven major leaguers at some point. This is another credit to Andrew Friedman. They filled this thing up on the field, on the mound, in the dugout with Dave Roberts. They just really haven't missed a shot since these guys started running the show, other than having some bad luck and some questionable decision-making in games, which is just part of it.
And cheaters! And cheaters! Don't forget about the cheaters!
For sure.
Oh, the cheaters. I remember from the outside looking at it before, obviously, I had moved. Yeah, all right, boom, boom twice, the damn cheaters. I remember before moving to L.A. thinking what a horrible mistake it was to let Zach Greinke go. That I was like, if you get two of those guys, you can win. You just got to roll with them, because we had seen it too many times before. We just witnessed it this past year, that if you got two of those arms in the postseason, you can win a chip. And I thought once they let Zach go, I was like, it's going to be a rough ride. Now it feels like the best decision they could have ever made, you know, and now it feels as if, you know, letting Zach Greinke go was the beginning of the dominance and not the end of what could have been. I know it sounds crazy.
It just feels
that way.
They got out of the Zach Greinke business at exactly the right time. He had another couple of pretty good seasons, and Zach Greinke's a really good pitcher, but if you said to me, you want Zach Greinke at super high dollar or you want Dustin May, it's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. I'll take Dustin May. Unless it's a who do you want to pitch tonight? You got one chance to save your life. Maybe I'll take the veteran guy at that point. But if I got to play the next several seasons, give me the kid. Absolutely, I want the kid. 877-710-ESPN, your thoughts on the signing of Mookie Betts. And LZ, here's the question. Mookie Betts has an MVP and is 27 years old. Cody Bellinger has an MVP and is even younger than that. You forget, Cody Bellinger's been in Major League Baseball for less than 5 years. Okay, yes. He's been in Major League Baseball for less than 5 years, played in a couple of World Series, been a National League Championship Series MVP, been the National League MVP last season, is a guy that hit over 300, hits a bunch of home runs, led Major League Baseball in WAR last season, and he might be the second best player on the team. I mean, this is what we're talking about.
It's absolutely crazy. And I keep going back to this because this is an important aspect of it. And the guy who people think might be just as good as, if not become better, we put him on ice because we don't need him right now. Like, I can't to understand that, think about like the way that the Lakers slowly brought in Kobe, right? So they get Kobe and he doesn't play a whole lot. He doesn't start, you know, his rookie year, blah, 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 blah. Other guys who were drafted ahead of him are playing big time minutes. And the Lakers kind of had him on ice because, you know, we had Nick the Quick. Eddie Jones was a starter at that position, and it was like a luxury. And then once they were ready to let Kobe go, you couldn't bring them back. It was a wrap. And this is the way I feel about, you know, everything I'm hearing about Gavin Lux. It's like we may have the better of the three on ice because we don't need him right now. What is this going to look like when we take him out, sit him out overnight, let him defrost, and get ready to put it on the grill? What is that going to look like?
First of all, you're supposed to defrost in the refrigerator. That's how you create bacteria, by leaving it out on the counter overnight.
You ain't from Mississippi. That ain't how we do it in Mississippi.
You're supposed to do it inside. I don't want you to get sick. I care about you. I want to make sure that you're healthy. So that's the first thing I'll tell you. But then, look, Gavin Lux is an incredibly talented guy. I think everybody in the Dodger organization expects him to make all-star teams in the future. He's not going to be better than Mookie Betts or Cody Bellinger. Cody Bellinger, this is his fourth season in the league, two All-Star games, an MVP, a Rookie of the Year, an NLCS MVP, like I mentioned, and Mookie Betts is better than him. So, I mean, it's just it's this deal that if Gavin Lux turns out not to be better than Bellinger or Betts, that doesn't mean he's not awesome. That means that those exactly. other guys are two of the – think about it right now. You've got two of the top what? If Mookie Betts, if we're going to agree that Mookie Betts is the second best player in baseball, what's Cody Bellinger? Fifth? Fourth?
I mean, at worst, you got to say fourth, right? Because you can't be an MVP of the season and then be below fifth in terms of best players in the game.
Yeah.
Like that just doesn't happen.
I'm trying to think of other guys that I can – and I'm taking all those Astros guys and throwing them in the trash because I don't know what they are if they don't have their buzzer system intact. So take all of the Astro players off the board. The only other guy that I'm thinking, okay, give me him instead of Bellinger right now, and it'd be a tough – is Christian Yelich, right? That guy is that dude too.
Yeah, but he looks weird. Yeah, like, I
hadn't considered
Travis.
That.
Well, Travis, see, when I think about these things, it's a full circle, 360, listeners. This is 360. Marketing, who's on your billboards, who's doing all the big-time interviews, who is Oprah going to sit down with? Christian, you know, he's got a weird look. I don't know if I want to do that. I don't know. give me Cody Bellinger. Well, he doesn't look weird.
I'm going to look on his baseball reference page and see where they put weird look and how they categorize that because I can't find it here at first glance. All right. We'll take some of your phone calls, 877-710-ESPN. And don't forget that tomorrow is a Fan Friday. Make sure that you're listening all day long. We're celebrating the Lakers and our Fan Friday. Listen and win a Lakers prize pack, which includes a Lakers jersey, a Lakers limited edition collectible figurine from Small Stars, exclusive access to our Lakers virtual watch party that's on July 30th, and a $75 Pizza Hut voucher. Thank you to Valvoline Instant Oil Change for all of that. Home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit SoCal Oil Change for locations and coupons. Your phone calls, more on opening night. Oh, by the way, there's a game tonight. That's coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. All right, 877-710 ESPN. If you want to get in and give us your thoughts on the Dodgers locking up Mookie Betts for the next 13 years, $392 million. LZ, this is a whole other part where we really haven't – it's kind of gotten lost in the shuffle of everything else that's going on. The Rams and the Chargers have a new building, SoFi Stadium. That's where we're going for our first call. Rod, you are on The Morning Show. What's going on, Rod?
Good morning, gentlemen. Everything good. Thank God. Everything's pretty good.
Good.
Well,
so what you got for us, bro? How do you feel?
Excuse me?
Oh, go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, no, I just wanted to give my thoughts on the trade. You know, I'm stoked, man. I feel the same way I felt when the Lakers got LeBron James. We have Mookie Betts. If we could lock down Cody Bellinger and Walker Buehler, we're going to be set for the next decade, gentlemen. You know, this is a really good day. Last year, the year before, I thought to myself, we can't get any better. That's the same thing I'm thinking again. You know, I'm hoping for big things in this next decade to come. You know, go Dodgers.
Thanks, Rod. Yeah, look, this is not only did they add the second best player in baseball, but they've set themselves up for the long term. And like LZ, you said something I think that's incredibly important last segment. Sports happens, right? And every team that's thought they've set themselves up for a 10-year run, you know, stuff happened. No better example of this, I think, than the Rams. That when the Rams were – when Sean McVay showed up, they win the division, Atlanta clips him. You say they're going to come back the next year, they're going to be better. And they were. And they end up in the Super Bowl. And you're thinking, okay, into the Super Bowl in just his second year, we're on to something. And they miss. It's sports happens. It just – it doesn't go like this. Here's why I think the Dodgers are in such an extraordinary position. There's no question that they're going to sign Cody Bellinger. There's no question that they're going to sign Walker Buehler. There's no question that in the event that – let's just say something terrible – I don't want to say a name out loud. Let's say somebody has a career-altering situation. Let's put it that way. The Dodgers will find the next guy. They've already proven that they can find the next guy. They've already proven that they're willing to spend money on people that they identify as the next guy. They were willing to go big on Bryce Harper. He just made a different decision. They went big on Mookie Betts. They're going to go big on those other two guys. And more importantly, arguably, is that they can identify the Kike Hernandez. They can identify the Chris Taylor. They can identify the Max Muncy. That's why they're set up for a run, equally to the fact that they signed star players, that they've got people making great decisions.
And that's the reason why, and you're 100% correct, Travis, and it's the reason why when we talk about the Rams, I don't have as much of a Debbie Downer sort of feeling about it, because I believe in Les Snead. I believe in the scouting team. I believe that they've shown an ability to find the gems. Signing the number one overall pick doesn't make you a great GM. No, what makes you a great GM is finding that guy that went to that tier three school that only won four games, and notice we could do something with that. That's when you make your money. And I think Les has shown that. And I definitely think, I mean, the Dodgers, man, Max Muncy, people, you have to understand, this man was getting ready to work at Costco.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is where he was in his career. And to be able to see that and to be able to work with that, and then for Max, obviously, put in the hard work in order to take advantage of the situation, but it wasn't a situation that he hadn't had before. He had been picked up by other teams before. It just didn't work out. But yeah. He still found a way to a championship team, and he still found a way to become an all-star. And I'm going to give the Dodgers credit for seeing the potential in him. That's what makes you a great GM.
Yeah, I want to put some numbers to that, LZ, because your point's a great one. Max Muncy played in the major leagues for the Oakland A's in 2015 and 2016. Didn't play a ton, 45 games in his rookie season, 51 games in his second season, and hit a grand total of five home runs. Okay, he hit five home runs. He hit three his first year, two his second year. Did not play Major League Baseball in 2017. Let me say it again. Did not play Major League Baseball in 2017. The Dodgers say, you know what? That Muncy dude, we'll take him. He shows up. He hit 35 home runs in 2018. Turned around last year, hit 35 more home runs in 2019. He's hit 70 home runs for them in two seasons after hitting five for the A's in two seasons with them. That's knowing that guy is not a five home run guy. That's a different guy. If we give him at-bats, if we put him in our system, this is going to come together. And it worked out beautifully. And there's more than just Muncy. There's Chris Taylor. Chris Taylor was just a dude in Seattle. He was, you know, he's all right. He was just, but he wasn't a guy that was a difference maker on whether or not your team might get to the World Series. With the Dodgers, he has been. I mean, it's not just a guy. It's all of their guys. And, oh, by the way, when it is an opportunity that's a no-brainer, right? Mookie Betts, who wouldn't want Mookie Betts? They get it done. They get it done. They sign a big dollar deal, and it's done. And for the next 13 years, we don't have to talk about whether Mookie Betts is leaving or not.
Yeah, they've shown a tremendous amount of patience. They've been aggressive when they needed to have been aggressive. They're very good at ignoring the boo birds. You know, people like Travis and LZ and Keyshawn and Raj, and people who are like going, what is Dave Roberts doing? Why are you keeping him? We need to get that. We need to do this. We need to do that. And it's like, you know what? Maybe, just maybe, they know what the hell they're doing, and we need to just sit back and be patient, because as much as you want to criticize Dave Roberts, which manager since he's been hired has been more successful?
Nobody.
Consistently as successful.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when you think about the fact that they've been so disciplined in both their seeking of free agents, big name and small, the way they go about their business, this is a well-run franchise, a complete 180 for what they used to be known as. For the, let's see, how do we call him? Dude, I don't like calling him by his name. What do we call that moment?
Parking lot guy?
Yeah, parking lot guy, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Parking lot guy was running the show. You know, we're a long way from parking lot guy.
Let's just pretend that never happened, because the Dodgers, going all the way back to when they were in Brooklyn with Branch Rickey to when they came out here to L.A. and they had the O'Malley's running the team here, and they had just a long run of not just winning championships, and they, you know, they win one in the 60s. They win, you know, were incredibly competitive in the 70s, went to the World Series multiple times, didn't get it. They win two in the 80s. They had a long run of not just winning, but being one of the best run organizations in baseball, that every year, the Dodgers were almost never bad. Once in a blue moon, they'd have a team that didn't win very much, but it was rare. They were the envy of just about every other organization in baseball. And then parking lot guy got a hold of them and screwed it up pretty badly. But they're back now. They are, again, one of the best run organizations in MLB.
Back, the way Magic likes to say.
Yeah.
And it's great to see. And I don't want to sit here and chirp and like, we got Mookie, you guys are screwed, blah, 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 blah. That's what Yankees fans do. Yankees go out and get Giancarlo Stanton, and they go, yeah, we're going to dominate, blah, 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 blah. And then you're still waiting to see it kind of pan out. I'm not going to do that. What I will say is that we're better than the Yankees, because our ability to find the hidden talent has proven to be better than the Yankees, especially in recent history. Yankees are really good at getting the obvious names. We're really good at getting all the names.
All right, so tonight, opening night against the Giants. I'm going to fast forward tomorrow morning, 6 o'clock, LZ and Travis in the mornings. Final score, Giants 5, Dodgers 2. Are we singing a different tune? Are we singing a different tune because of one game opening day goes a certain way, because baseball is baseball?
That's the final score?
Yeah.
That's the final score? I thought that was the first inning.
No, 5-2. Hershiser pitches, okay, whatever.
No, we don't do less than 9 runs, apparently. That's our new thing. So when you said 5-2, I just assumed that was the first or second inning score. Now, if you're telling me that, you know, we might get, like, handled on the first game of the season, I'm not going to be worried, but I'm going to treat it the way I treated the Lakers' first game of the season, which is, I'm going to watch you now.
Let's see what you do with Kershaw's jersey if he loses.
I'm not talking about them getting smoked. I'm talking about them losing a baseball game, which they're going to lose 20 baseball games. Even if they played great, they're going to lose 20 times. Right? I mean, they go 40-20.
LZ said 59-1. 59-1, LZ.
I said 45, and I think they'll lose 15 times over the course of the 60-game, you know, little season. If this is the first one, you know, so be it. But if they lose 2 out of the first 3, then I'm freaking out.
Well, see, this is how quickly it turns, and I don't think that it's a 4-game series to open the Giants. Let's say it's 2-2. Okay, let's say they win 2, they lose 2. And okay, now you got to go to Houston. And I'm going to say this. I'm not going to say it often, but I'll say it right now. The Astros are good. The Astros are cheaters, but they also have some really good players. So going into Houston for your next 2 games, let's say you split those 2. And now you're 3-3. You've played 10% of your season, and you're a 5. And by the way, yes, 10 games would be or I guess that would be 7 games or 6 games, excuse me. You'd be 3-3. That's 10% of your season right there. What are we feeling there?
I'm panicking, because either that means that they're going to get off to a slow start, which could put a lot of things in jeopardy, or other teams are a little bit better in the division than we thought. Because if we're 3-3, that means we've dropped some to San Francisco, which they're supposed to be awful. And if they're not awful, then maybe this won't be an easy divisional win as we originally had considered. So that's the reason why I'm panicking. Plus, I just don't want us to lose any games to Houston anyway. I don't want that. I would rather lose every game to the Giants and sweep the Astros or the Houston Astros.
Yeah, well, we will see. We're going to talk to Jorge Castillo. He covers the team for the LA Times. He joins us next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. All right, opening day 2020 Major League Baseball season is tonight at Dodger Stadium against the Giants. Joining us right now, the man who's on the beat for the LA Times, Jorge Castillo, joining us here on the morning show. Jorge, good morning. How you been?
Hey, I'm good, guys. How are you?
All right.
What's up, brother? What's up? It's a good day in the city. We got Mookie. Can you talk to us about how this deal came down? And talk to us quick, yeah, because I just looked at Major League Soccer, the matches on right now, and what we're looking at is, yeah, it was not good. So please tell us, how did this deal get done?
Yeah, so basically, you know, they traded for Mookie at the beginning of February before spring training, you know, hoping that he would be a guy, not just for this season, he wouldn't be just a one-year rental, but he would be a guy that, that would stick around and they could persuade him and convince him to stay. Obviously, things got complicated with the shutdown. They talked contracts, according to Andrew Friedman, they talked contracts in March before spring training shut down. And then 5 or 6 days ago last week, negotiations resumed. Mookie wanted a deal done before opening day to avoid any distractions, and they figured it out and got it done yesterday.
Jorge Castillo joining us here on the morning show. Jorge, we obviously, with the signing of Mookie Betts and knowing that the Dodgers have won 7 division titles in a row, and it feels like they're getting ready to go on another great run, everybody's very excited, very positive. As you look at this team, where is the soft spot? Where's the spot on this team, the roster? You say, you know what, they could be a little bit better right there.
Yeah, I think there are two spots. You know, offensively, position player-wise, this team has really no weaknesses. They're very deep, you know, 1 through 9 with the DH now and, you know, guys coming off the bench and all that. I think the two spots are, you know, in the starting rotation, this team is historically in the last few years has had a lot of depth. You know, they lost Hyunjin Ryu, they lost Rich Hill, they traded Kenta Maeda. They traded for David Price in that Mookie Betts trade. He decides not to play this season. So now, you know, you got Clayton Kershaw, you got Walker Buehler, and then after that, you got, you know, maybe a couple question marks. You know, Julio Urias has big potential, but he hasn't done it yet as a starter at the Major League level. Ross Stripling has bounced between the bullpen and the rotation. He's had success in the rotation, but he's also been bumped to the bullpen because the Dodgers believe they have other better pieces. And he wasn't supposed to be in this rotation until Price was left decided not to play. And then you got Alex Wood, who had, you know, back injuries last year, who has obviously shown his potential here in L.A., but there's some question marks in the rotation. And then, you know, the final question mark to me is the back end of the bullpen. You know, can Kenley Jansen sort of regain? Can he improve on what he was last year? Last year was his worst year in the major leagues. You got questions with Blake Trinan and Joe Kelly. You know, so I think the back end of the bullpen is the question mark.
Jorge, real quick, let me follow up on what you're talking about with the rotation and some of those guys beyond Kershaw and Buehler. If, because of the shortened season, if some of those other guys you mentioned, whether it's Wood or Stripling or those guys, could we see Dave Roberts juggle that pretty quickly and go to guys like Dustin May, Tony Gonsolin? Could we see them go into that rotation early if some of these guys stumble out of the gate?
Yeah, so that's something that I think we all sort of have to figure out is how quickly will these managers, you know, in this instance, Dave Roberts, sort of not blow it up, but tweak things. You know, will it take 2 starts? Will it take 1 week? You know, because this is a 60-game season. Every game counts like 2.5 times as normal. So, yeah, there's a chance. I think we're going to see Dustin May, you know, pretty out of the gate pretty early, taking up some innings. He's probably going to piggyback Walker Buehler in Houston on Tuesday, meaning he's going to come in after Walker and maybe pitch 2, 3, 4 innings. So I think we're going to see a lot of Dustin May early on. Yeah, but Tony Gonsolin's an option down the road. Josiah Gray is an option down the road. They have different guys, younger pieces. They don't have that veteran sort of guy waiting in the wings, you know, in case someone gets hurt or something, waiting to come in and help out. They got young prospects, young pieces.
I want to go back again, Jorge, to the signing of Mookie, because he gave an answer that raised my eyebrow, which was simply being asked if the Boston Red Sox had offered him a similar deal or the exact same deal. Would he have been a Red Sox just as easily? And he didn't definitively give the answer. He just acknowledged it was an interesting, intriguing question. So what is your sense with that? Was he being coy? Are we lucky to have Mookie? He could have easily been a Red Sox. Like, where are we with this?
I think both, right? I think the answer was telling. He also mentioned yesterday that this entire process, going back to when the Red Sox were, you know, making him, you know, a contract and extension offer, he just wanted fair value. I talked to him last week for a bit, for about 20 minutes for a story I wrote. And, you know, he said he liked Boston. You know, I asked him, you know, was being in Boston tough in any way? You know, just being a black player? He's like, no, I was good. I liked it there. You know, I had friends there, all that stuff. He enjoyed his time in Boston. He just felt he wasn't getting fair value from them. And the Dodgers come in and Dodgers have money. You know, they have this cable deal. They, you know, I know this year there's no gate revenue, but every year they lead the league in attendance. They got no money on the books, no guaranteed money on the books after 2022. This is something they've been carefully planning to do, is getting a guy like Mookie Betts for the long term, signing him to a big deal. They tried it with Garrett Cole over the offseason, if you guys remember. It seems like 6 years ago, but yeah, that happened. They tried to get Garrett Cole, and Mookie Betts fits the bill. You know, he's a 5-tool player. He's a, I mean, from all accounts, he's a good dude. He works, you know, he works his butt off. He's one of those guys that's like good at everything he does. He's just the guy that they felt comfortable building around and giving a whole ton of money to.
You know, obviously, these are decisions that are a little bit down the road, but I guess you can never start thinking about it too quickly. You've got to pay Cody Bellinger at some point. You've got to pay Walker Buehler at some point. Does going as big as they went with Mookie Betts affect that at all? Or the Dodgers, like you said, they've got money and they're willing to spend it.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to affect them much. I mean, Bellinger, I believe, isn't a free agent until after 2023. I mean, they got time. Like I said earlier, after 22, no guaranteed money on the books, nothing. Only, like, arbitration and pre-arbitration guys. So they'll have money. They should have money. We'll see the landscape of – we'll see the baseball landscape in, you know, over the next couple of years. You got the CBA coming up. That's expiring after 2021. You got to wonder if gate revenue is going to take a hit. You know, next year, are fans going to be allowed to back in? How many fans? Things like that. But I expect the Dodgers to have no problem, you know, paying a Bellinger. You know, whether they decide to pay all those guys down the road, that's another matter. But if they want to pay a guy like Cody Bellinger, you know, I'd assume they can.
Who do you think in five seasons will be the face of this franchise?
Yeah, five seasons. So Mookie's 27 right now, 32. I said Mookie. You know, it's going to be between Mookie, you know, Bellinger re-signs. I think those are the two guys they build around. And, you know, it's harder for me to say that Walker Buehler is going to pan out because he's a pitcher. You know, things happen with pitchers. But, you know, everyday players, position players are more, you know, they're likelier to pan out because, you know, arm injuries can be tough and rough. And so I think it's going to be Bellinger and Betts. I think those two guys are going to be the sort of the faces of the franchise. Yesterday, Mookie was like, hey, I'm cool not being the face of the franchise. I'm just here to play ball. But that's not how it works. He's going to be the face of the franchise. He's the one making the money. He's the star. He's the one that kids are going to want to be when they grow up, all that stuff. So I think it's going to be between Bellinger and Betts. I mean, they're two of the four guys who've won MVPs the last 2 years. They're superstars in baseball. So I think it's going to be those two guys.
By the end of this deal, how many grandkids do you think I'm going to have? I'm trying to plan because I'm going to have to buy season tickets. By the time Mookie's deal is over, because it's a long time. So what are you thinking, like,
yeah,
two?
I was thinking about that. Yeah, I was thinking about that. 13, you know, this year plus 12 more. His contract's going to be able to watch PG-13 movies. It's going to be, you know, it's a long time. It's a long time. You know, if everything pans out, he's going to go in the Hall of Fame as a Dodger. He's going to be a guy out here. You know, he's going to be, you know, like any Laker, Dodgers is great, right? The idea of Mookie Betts coming back at Dodger Stadium and all that. And I'm still wrestling with that notion because, you know, 24 hours. No, not just 2 days ago, I was like, he'll be here maybe for 60 games and then he'll go to highest bidder, you know, this winter. And that might be the Dodgers. It might not be. But all of a sudden, it's the Dodgers. And it's not just for a few years. It's for a long, long time. And, like, the Olympics are going to happen and the Super Bowl. And he's still going to be here. So it's going to be, yeah, it's crazy.
Jorge Castillo joining us here on The Morning Show. He covers the Dodgers for the Los Angeles Times. How long do you think, Jorge, until we see Gavin Lux back with his team playing second base every night?
That's a question that's tough to answer because he came late, so he didn't look in sync. He didn't look right in these games and, you know, the scrimmages and the exhibition games. But there's also the notion that the Dodgers, if they just hold him off the roster for a little bit, his service time will take a hit, and then they can get an extra year of control. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's on the roster by the middle of August, second week of August. Or, you know, if they find that they don't really need him at the moment, if they're, you know, they're doing just fine with Kike and Chris Taylor and Max Muncy at second base, maybe they say, you know, we'll wait it out with this guy. Because, you know, the roster's it's a 30-man roster today, but after 2 weeks, it's down to 28. I believe. And then 2 weeks after that, it's down to 26. So these guys aren't going to be adding guys. You know, they're going to be subtracting guys. You know, obviously an injury changes the equation and Lux will be up here if a position player gets hurt. But I think for now, it's sort of just Lux kind of figuring out his swing a little bit because he showed up late to training camp and there's also the service time issue, I guess.
I want to flip the script a little bit. You're really good at talking about the other people, but I want to talk about you. One of 35, 36 credited people who are going to be in the stadium. How are you going to be able to report without having the usual access that you've basically built your career on? How tricky is that going to be for media just going forward?
Yeah, man, I wish I had a good answer.
We're just
gonna have to figure that out. we're gonna have to figure that out. The first few weeks here with training camp and these exhibition games have been interesting in the sense of, you know, the access is, it's not so much as having the access necessarily with like interviews, and it's about just like being able to small talk people and just being around guys and seeing someone, hey, a quick question, and that could lead to something. You know, we have none of that. I mean, yes, 2 days ago, for example, 2 days ago was the perfect example. Mookie Betts is not in the lineup. And Dave Roberts was asked, hey, where's Mookie? Oh, he's fine, just the rest day. Yeah, he wasn't at the stadium. He was getting his physical and all that done. You know, in a normal situation, scenario, we pick up on the fact that, hey, well, we don't see Mookie here. Where is he? And that leads to more questions than, you know, hey, why is the Mookie in the lineup? Because we can't see, you know, it's hard to see in the dugouts from where we are and all that stuff. So, yeah, the coverage is going to suffer a little bit. Just the lack of access, just being around different people. But, you know, we have to get creative. And, you know, I think people are thirsty for, you know, watching this team, reading about this team in any sport, really. You have to talk about MLS there. You know, I was here watching the Clippers game yesterday like it was the finals. So I was, you know, Clippers Magic, scrimmage game, yeah. You know.
No doubt.
Yeah, coffee. I was just like, all right, cool. You know, I was really happy just to watch sports. I think people are going to feel that way, to just kind of be consumed by something other than everything going on, you know, the COVID stuff and all that. I think people are just going to be happy to sit at home and watch sports and watch the Dodgers.
The sports are back tonight. Dodgers opening tonight at Dodger Stadium against the Giants. Jorge Castillo joining us here on The Morning Show. Jorge, always fun to talk with you. Thanks so much.
No problem,
thanks,
guys.
Brother.
Thank you.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, he couldn't be more right, by the way. I mean, I was excited when golf came back. I was excited when MLS came back. But this, the Dodgers, this season, this team coming back, come on, man. And it starts tonight. Can't wait for it. Take It or Shake It is coming up next. All right, LZ, let's start with the topic of the day. Of course, we're talking about Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts will still be the best player in a Dodger uniform 10 years from now. Take It or Shake It.
Shake it.
Someone shake, it.
Shake it. Shake it. Shake it. But that doesn't mean he won't be valued. That doesn't mean he won't be a great contributor. It just means he won't be the best. And listen, he won't be the best because of age. He won't be the best because other players will get better and new guys will come in. But he's going to be the best because at that point, he's going to be the man. He's going to be the MVP of the World Series for the Dodgers. He's going to be the one that leads the breaking of the curse. He's going to be a made man in the city. He's going to be the face, not just of the Dodger franchises, but depending upon how Anthony Davis is marketed over the next 10 years, he might be the most famous athlete in the city. So whether he's batting 300 or not, by the time we get to the 10-year mark, Mookie, he's going to be able to write his own ticket anywhere.
I agree with you on all of that, and that's why I started with 10. I'm going to make this one a little bit more challenging. 5 years from now, Mookie Betts is the best player in a Dodger uniform. Take it or shake it.
Why are you asking hard questions, Travis? Yeah. This is going to be a fun segment. In 5 years, will a 32-year-old Mookie be better than a, what, 24, 25-year-old, 26 maybe?
That's what you say. Spit it out.
29.
Or a 30-year-old Cody Bellinger.
I was going to say, or a 30-year-old Cody Bellinger. And I'm going to still say yes. I'm going to still
how you play.
Say yes.
That's not how you play.
Take it!
Take it!
Oh, take it!
Take it! Take it! Take it! But not with both hands. Only with one. I'm not securing
right, next
this.
One. Next.
I'm not secure.
All right, let's go to an NBA topic. Let's take a listen to Jalen Rose, who has he's got a prediction on a potential upset inside that NBA bubble. Celtics over Bucks.
If Kemba Walker and Gordon Hayward can stay healthy, the Boston Celtics have a legit chance to upset the Milwaukee Bucks. Because when these two teams match up, nobody can stop the Greek Freak anyway. But these guys have multiple guys that can put up 20 points on a given night and be a problem for any team in the league.
The Celtics will come out of the East in the Orlando bubble. Take it or shake it.
Focus, Elsie. Focus.
I'm going to take it.
Oh, take it.
I'm going to take it.
Let's go, Celtics.
I'm going to take it because I'm really, really bullish on what Jason Tatum is and what he's on his way to becoming. And I know that in that little clip, you heard a whole lot of, you know, jibber jabber about Kemba Walker. And Kemba's nice, no doubt about it. But when I see Jason Tatum and I've watched the way that he's progressed and I see who he reaches out to during the offseason, and when I talk to him and when I've seen the way that he's grown in a short period of time, he reminds me so much of early Kobe. And I'm expecting him to have a similar sort of breakout in the postseason, and it could very well be this year. It's Jason Tatum that you need to be afraid of, not Kemba.
All right, let's go to another NBA topic right here. Veteran teams will have a huge advantage playing in front of no fans. Take it or shake it.
Take it.
Take it.
Man, come on.
Veteran teams just have been through so much, especially veteran teams where guys have bounced around a lot. That's when you really have an advantage, because essentially you've been broken down to just knowing what this is. You don't have any delusions that, you know, this is your franchise. You don't have any delusions that the fans are here for you and without the fans, you can't do your, you don't have any of that. Why? Because you've already played for four different teams. And you've realized that they're not cheering you. They're just cheering the uniform anyway. And it's not really. So once you develop that sort of sense of reality, it's a lot easier to detach yourself from the crowd factor. Whereas we just saw what happened to the young Lakers at the very whisper of being traded. Their whole world got derailed. Exactly.
That didn't go great for them. Let's try one more quick one here. Another NBA topic. We saw Bol Bol put up 16, 10-6 for the Nuggets last night. The Nuggets are a little interesting with the addition of Bol Bol. Take it or shake it.
Take it. They're interesting. That's different than championship caliber, but they're interesting. I want to see what he does. I want to see if he can last. I want to see if he could do what he did during the scrimmage, which is bring the rock up real comfortable, like, and just pull up like he's KD, and then look around like, what? This is what I do. So he's going to make them more interesting, because right now, even though Jokic is a very good player, let's be real, he's kind of boring.
He's triple-double, he's good.
Yeah, listen, he's
no, they can be boring. They're effective, but they can be boring.
Right. But Bol Bol makes them interesting.
16-10-6 right out of the gate. Very quickly here, Major League Baseball, and Mark Teixeira is talking about whether or not MLB is going to have to intervene on behalf of the Astros.
Listen, I don't think the Royals are going to want to, you know, hit guys with the bases loaded, even in a summer camp game. But the third one is the one that really bothers me. And even though it may not have been intentional, if you start seeing Astros players getting hit up and in, above the shoulders, in the head, in the hands, Major League Baseball is going to shut it down right away. This sport already has a black eye right now amongst the fans. There's a lot of people out there that didn't like the labor strife and the back and forth. And there's even more people that, if I'm only going to get 60 games, let me watch 60 clean games. I don't want to see the Astros getting plucked left and right. And I do believe that Major League Baseball will step in if this is a problem.
MLB has to protect the Astros in the shortened season. Take it or shake it.
Shake the hell out
shake
of it.
It. Shake
the hell out of it. Break its neck. I'm violently shaking this thing.
Damn, Elsie.
You're protecting the damn Astros. You didn't protect the game. That's what you needed to do. You needed to protect the game. Protect the damn Astros. What kind of bullish bullcrap mess is that? I don't give a rat's ass if they protect the freaking Astros. Are you kidding me? Why don't you worry about protecting the integrity of the game?
I believe that is a take it or shake it with both hands, to use your language.
Yes, and my feet. I'm putting my feet on it, too.
Right,
I'm sticking with every limb that I have.
We saw some NBA action in Orlando. We saw some scrimmages. We just mentioned Bol Bol right there. There are going to be some challenges ahead for all these teams. That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.